My brothers and sisters in Christ. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So, under the category of things we wish the Holy Spirit had inspired Luke to write down, I think that conversation between Jesus and the disciples on the road to Emmaus is high up on the list. Think of it. It was likely a two-hour walk from Jerusalem. And during those glorious hours, Jesus interpreted to them. That is, he brought out to them what was right there to see in the scriptures already if they'd been paying attention. He interpreted to them, starting at Moses, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, and going through all the prophets, all the things concerning himself. One wonders how he was able to do that in just 2 hours. And specifically, Jesus brought out for them all the things that showed that the Christ had to suffer and enter into his glory. Before Jesus began this tutorial, these two disciples had thought that Jesus' rejection by the chief priests and rulers and his condemnation and his death on a cross had disqualified him from being the Messiah. But now, in light of God's word and Jesus' interpreting the scriptures for them, they were given to understand everything had happened as it had to. Only by his innocent suffering and death could he be the perfect sacrifice to atone for all sin. And only by his glorious resurrection could he break death and be the source of new and everlasting life, reconciled to the Father. It was necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. But it gets better. After they had been catechized, you will have noticed, they still didn't recognize Jesus for who he was. However, when they reclined at table for the meal, and he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, then their eyes were opened and they knew him for who he was. And he vanished. But again, try to imagine that moment in your mind's eye. Jesus has the bread, he speaks a word of thanksgiving to bless the loaf, and then he breaks it and he hands the pieces to the two disciples. That image seemed familiar. It's what Jesus had done in the upper room the night that he was betrayed. It's what he had done when he fed the 5,000. And likely had done that at countless other meals as well. And here, now knowing that he had to suffer and be glorified, as he shares this meal with those disciples, they are given to see him for who he is. The risen Lord, who has triumphed over sin and death, who now walks with the church to give his people forgiveness and life through the word and the breaking of the bread. Indeed, when the church was gathered in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, do you remember what Luke tells us that they did? They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, for the apostles handed on Jesus' words and his words about the scriptures, and to the prayers, and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of the bread. Why? Because that's how the living Lord, Jesus, the resurrected one, continued to make himself known to them and dwell among them. And you can probably see where this is going, right? On this third Sunday of the Paschal or Easter season, where are we given to encounter the risen Lord, alive, glorious, the giver of life, the one who forgives our sins? In the teaching of his word and in the breaking of the bread in the sacrament of this altar. There's a way in which it's not too much to say that every time we gather to receive the word and Jesus' body and blood in the sacrament, we are having a road to Emmaus moment amongst ourselves. And our eyes are open and we know the Lord. Professor Art Just of the Fort Wayne Seminary has also noticed that the disciples having their eyes opened after they ate with the resurrected Jesus reaches back into Genesis to show the kind of new life that we have because of Jesus' death and resurrection. You might remember back in Genesis chapter 3, there was another kind of eating and another kind of eye opening. Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of all things good and evil, and their eyes were opened. That is, they saw the world differently. They still saw as creatures, but they saw as creatures who knew they had turned away from their Creator. They saw the world from the perspective of creatures who no longer shared God's righteousness, life, or holiness. And what did this new vision show them? That they were naked. Not merely in the sense of not having clothes to wear, they were spiritually naked. They could not hide their sin or their shame or their guilt. They were naked in the sense of not being able to defend themselves or sustain their own lives. They knew that they were sinners, deserving a just recompense. They feared God's judgment and sought to hide. Their eyes were open, all right, but all they saw was how lost they were. But when the disciples at Emmaus ate the food the resurrected Jesus gave them, their eyes were opened to see grace, and they saw how redeemed they were. Having been catechized and fed by Jesus, they saw that they were abundantly pardoned and forgiven precisely because the Christ willingly suffered all to atone for sin and entered into his glory by putting an end to death and judgment. They saw that they could trust God as their loving Father, who is through Christ, restoring his image in them by giving them a new birth in his Spirit. They saw Jesus and saw that they were not naked, but clothed in Christ and his righteousness and his redemption. And that's what's given to us here, my friends. When a faithful pastor declares Christ to you from God's word and interprets to you all the things concerning Christ that show his death as the foundation of your forgiveness and his resurrection as the source of your new birth, then you are on the road to Emmaus. When we come to this sacrament, it is finally Jesus who blesses the bread and breaks it and gives it to you to eat. It is Jesus who blesses the cup, gives thanks, and gives to you to drink. It is Jesus risen, never to die again, for death has no dominion over him. He is the one who forgives you and shares his life with you and opens your eyes so that you know him and know that he is with you here, now, and always. So, because it was necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory, we know that he has come to walk with us and bring us with himself into the new heavens and earth. And we know and confess that as we come to worship, to be taught, and to receive the sacrament, Jesus is with us, man and God, body and soul, so that our eyes are opened, so that we see our Redeemer and our redemption. Let us then live in its light, knowing, as Peter wrote, that we have been ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our forebears. The phrase Peter uses here points to the empty, useless behaviors that lead nowhere. The world that we were born into is full of such emptiness. And by our birth from Adam, we inherited that emptiness. Think for a moment of the emptiness that we see all around us, right? All the proud boasting going on out there, or the pointless pursuit of gain, or the empty consumption of gadgets, or the dull indulgence of vice, the distraction of entertainment that tears others down, or lies or innuendos, envies and jealousies. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have been ransomed from all of that. The price has been paid that frees us from all of that. So let us live as those who are free. For we are born again so that we might love one another sincerely and earnestly from a pure heart. Our eyes are open, and we know Christ in the breaking of the bread. For Christ is risen. Alleluia, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.